A Clockwork Orange, Disc 5.
Part 3. 1. What's it going to be then, eh? That, my brothers, was me asking myself the next morning, standing outside this white building that was like tacked onto the old stature, in my platties of the night of 2 years back in the grey light of dawn, with a malenki bit of a bag with my few personal veshies in and a bit of cutter kindly donated by the Vonny authorities to, like, start me off in my new life. The rest of the day before had been very tiring, what with interviews to go on tape for the telly news and photographs being took, flash, 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 and more like demonstrations of me folding up in the face of ultraviolence and all that embarrassing cow. And then I had like fallen into bed, and then, as it looked to me, been wakened up to be told to get off out, to itty off home. They did not want to vidy your humble narrator, never, not no more, O my brothers. So there I was, very, very early in the morning, with just this bit of Pretty Polly in my left carmine, jingle-jangling it and wondering, what's it going to be then, eh? Some breakfast, some mesto, I thought, me not having eaten at all that morning, every vet being so anxious to toll-chock me off out to freedom. A chasher of chai only, I had peated. This stadger was in a very, like, gloomy part of the town, but there were malenki workers' calves all around, and I soon found one of these, my brothers. It was very Cali and Vonny, with one bulb in the ceiling with fly dirt like obscuring its bit of light, and there were early rabbiters slurping away at chai and horrible-looking sausages and slices of kleb which they like wolfed, going wolf, 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 and then creeching for more. They were served by a very Cali devotchka, but with very bolshy grudies on her, and some of the eating vex tried to grab her, going ha ha ha, while she went he he he, and the sight of them near me made me want to sick, brothers. But I asked for some toast and jam and chai, very politely, and with my gentleman's galos. Then I sat in a dark corner to eat and peat. While I was doing this, a malenki little dwarf of a vec ittied in, selling the morning's gazettas. A twisted and grazny prestupnik type with thick glasses on with steel rims, his platties like the colour of very starry decaying currant pudding. I cupped a gazetta, my idea being to get ready for plunging back into normal Jeezney again by vidying what was ittying on in the world. This gazetta I had seemed to be like a government gazetta, for the only news that was on the front page was about the need for every vec to make sure he put the government back in again on the next general election, which seemed to be about 2 or 3 weeks off. There were very boastful slovos about what the government had done, brothers, in the last year or so, what with increased exports and a real horror show foreign policy and improved social services and all that cow. But what the government was really most boastful about was the way in which they reckoned the streets had been made safer for all the peace-loving, night-walking loodies in the last 6 months, what with better pay for the police, and the police getting, like, tougher with young hooligans and perverts and burglars and all that cow, which interesivated your humble narrator some deal. And on the second page of the Gazetta, there was a blurry-like photograph of somebody who looked very familiar, and it turned out to be none other than me. Me, me. I looked very gloomy and, like, scared, but that was really with the flashbulbs going pop, pop all the time. What it said underneath my picture was that here was the first graduate from the new State Institute for Reclamation of Criminal Types, cured of his criminal instincts in a fortnight only, now a good law-fearing citizen and all that cow. Then I vidded there was a very boastful article about this Ludovico's technique and how clever the government was and all that cow. Then there was another picture of some vec I thought I knew, and it was this Minister of the Inferior, or Interior,
It seemed that he'd been doing a bit of boasting, looking forward to a nice crime-free era in which there would be no more fear of cowardly attacks from young hooligans and perverts and burglars and all that cow. So I went, and threw this gazetta on the floor so that it covered up stains of spilled chai and horrible spat gobs from the Cali animals that used this calf. What's it going to be then, eh? What it was going to be now, brothers, was Homeways, and a nice surprise for Dada and Mum, their only son and heir back in the family bosom. Then I could lay back on the bed in my own Malenki den and slushy some lovely music, and at the same time I could think over what to do now with my Jeezney. The discharge officer had given me a long list the day before of jobs I could try for, and he had telephoned to different vets about me, but I had no intention, my brothers, of going off to Rabbit right away. A Malenki bit of rest first, yes? And a quiet think on the bed to the sound of lovely music. And so, the autobus to Centre, and then the autobus to Kingsley Avenue, the flats of flat block 18A being just near. You will believe me, my brothers, when I say that my heart was going clop, clop, clop with the like excitement. It was very quiet, it still being early winter morning, and when I itted into the vestibule of the flat block, there was no vec about. Only the Nadjoy Vex and Chinas of the Dignity of Labour. What surprised me, brothers, was the way it had been cleaned up, there being no longer any dirty ballooning slovos from the rots of the dignified labourers, nor any dirty parts of the body added to their naked plots by dirty-minded pencilling malchicks. And what also surprised me was that the lift was working. It came purring down when I pressed the electric knopka, and when I got in, I was surprised again to vidi all was clean inside the, like, cage. So, up I went to the 10th floor, and there I saw 10-8 as it had been before, and my rooker trembled and shook as I took out of my carmen the little klooch I had for opening up. But I very firmly fitted the klooch in the lock and turned, then opened up, then went in, and there I met three pairs of surprised and almost frightened glassies looking at me, and it was P and M having their breakfast, but it was also another vec that I had never vidded in my Jeezney before, a bulshy, thick vec in his shirt and braces, quite at home, brothers, slurping away at the milky chai and munching at his eggy wegg and toast. And it was this stranger vec who spoke first, saying, "Who are you, friend? Where did you get hold of a key? Out, before I push your face in. Get out there and knock. Explain your business, quick." My dad and mum sat like petrified, and I could vidi they had not yet read the Gazetta. Then I remembered that the Gazetta did not arrive till Papa had gone off to his work. But then mum said, "Oh, you've broken out. You've escaped. Whatever shall we do? We shall have the police here. Oh, 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 you bad and wicked boy, disgracing us all like this." And believe it or kiss my sherries, she started to go boo-hoo-hoo. So I started to try and explain. They could ring up the stadger if they wanted. And all the time, this stranger vet sat there like frowning and looking as if he could push my litzo in with his hairy, bolshy, beefy fist. So I said, "How about you answering a few, brother? What are you doing here, and for how long? I didn't like the tone of what you just said then. Watch it. Come on, speak up." He was a working man type vec, very ugly, about 30 or 40, and he sat now with his rot open at me, not govereating one single slovo. Then my dad said, "This is all a bit bewildering, son. You should have let us know you were coming. We thought it would be at least another 5 or 6 years before they let you out. Not," he said, and he said it very like gloomy, "that we're not very pleased to see you again, and a free man too." "Who is this?" I said. "Why can't he speak up? What's going on in here?" "This is Joe," said my mum. "He lives here now, the lodger, that's what he is. Oh dear, dear, dear," she went on. "You," said this Joe, I've heard all about you, boy. I know what you've done, breaking the hearts of your poor grieving parents. So you're back, eh? Back to make life a misery for them once more, is that it? Over my dead corpse you will, because they've let me be more like a son to them than like a lodger. I could nearly have smacked out loud at that if the old razdraz within me hadn't started to wake up the feeling of wanting to sick, because this vet looked about the same age as my P and M, and there he was, like, trying to put a son's protecting rooker round my crying mum, oh, my brothers. So, I said, and I near felt like collapsing in all tears myself. So, that's it, then. Well, I give you 5 large minutas to clear all your horrible Cali veshies out of my room. And I made for this room, this vet being a malenky bit too slow to stop me. When I opened the door, my heart cracked to the carpet because I vidded it was no longer like my room at all, brothers. All my flags had gone off the walls. And this vet had put up pictures of boxers, also like a team sitting smug with folded rookers and a silver-like shield in front. And then I vidded what else was missing. My stereo and my disc cupboard were no longer there, nor was my locked treasure chest that contained bottles and drugs and 2 shining clean syringes. "There's been some filthy, vonny work going on here," I creeched. "What have you done with my own personal veshies, you horrible bastard?" This was to Joe, but it was my dad that answered, saying, "That was all took away, son, by the police. This new regulation, see, about compensation for the victims." I found it very hard not to be ill, but my Gulliver was aching shocking and my rot was so dry that I had to take a scorry swig from the milk bottle on the table so that this Joe said filthy piggish manners. I said, "But she died. That one died." "It was the cats, son," said my dad, like sorrowful, "that were left with nobody to look after them till the will was read, so they had to have somebody in to feed them. So the police sold your things, clothes and all, to help with the looking after of them. That's the law, son. But you were never much of a one for following the law." I had to sit down then, and this Joe said, "Ask permission before you sit, you mannerless young swine." So I cracked back scorry with a "shut your dirty big fat hole, you," feeling sick. Then I tried to be all reasonable and smiling for my health's sake, like. So I said, "Well, that's my room. There's no denying it. This is my home also. What suggestions have you, my P and M, to make?" But they just looked very glum. My mum shaking a bit, her litzo all lines and wet with, like, tears. And then my dad said, "All this needs thinking about, son. We can't very well just kick Joe out. Not just like that, can we? I mean, Joe's here doing a job, a contract it is, 2 years. And we made, like, an arrangement, didn't we, Joe? I mean, son, thinking you were going to stay in prison a long time and that room going begging..." He was a bit ashamed, you could viddy that from his litzo, so I just smiled and, like, nodded, saying, "I viddy all. You got used to a bit of peace, and you got used to a bit of extra pretty Polly. That's the way it goes, and your son has just been nothing but a terrible nuisance." And then, my brothers, believe me, or kiss my sharries, I started to, like, cry, feeling very, like, sorry for myself. So my dad said, "Well, you see, son, Joe's paid next month's rent already. I mean, whatever we do in the future, we can't say to Joe to get out, can we, Joe?" This Joe said, "It's you two I've got to think of, who've been like a father and mother to me. Would it be right or fair to go off and leave you to the tender mercies of this young monster who has been, like, no real son at all? He's weeping now, but that's his craft and artfulness. Let him go off and find a room somewhere. Let him learn the error of his ways and that a bad boy like he's been doesn't deserve such a good mum and dad as what he's had." "All right," I said, standing up in all, like, tears still. "I know how things are now. Nobody wants all loves me. I've suffered and suffered and suffered, and everybody wants me to go on suffering. I know.
You've made others suffer, said this Joe. It's only right you should suffer proper. I've been told everything you've done, sitting here at night round the family table, and pretty shocking it was to listen to. Made me real sick, a lot of it did. I wish, I said, I was back in the prison. Dear old Stadger, as it was. I'm ittying off now, I said. You won't ever viddy me no more. I'll make my own way, thank you very much. Let it lie heavy on your consciences. My dad said, don't take it like that, son. And my mum just went boo-hoo-hoo. Her litso all screwed up real ugly, and this Joe put his rooker round her again, patting her and going there, like Bazoomney, and so I just sort of staggered to the door and went out, leaving them to their horrible guilt, oh my brothers. 2. Ittying down the street in a like aimless sort of a way, brothers, in these night platties which ludies like stared at as I went by, cold too, it being a bastard cold winter day. All I felt I wanted was to be away from all this and not to have to think any more about any sort of vesh at all. So I got the auto bus to centre, then I walked back to Taylor Place. And there was the disbootic Melodia I had used to favour with my inestimable customer, my brothers, and it looked much the same sort of mesto as it always had. And walking in, I expected to viddy old Andy there, that bald and very, very thin helpful light vec from whom I had coveted discs in the old days. But there was no Andy there now, brothers, only a scream and a creech of Nadsat, teenage that is, Malchicks and Petitzas, slooshying some new horrible pop song and dancing to it as well, and the vec behind the counter, not much more than a Nadsat himself, clicking his rooker bones and smecking like Bazoomney. So I went up and waited till he like deigned to notice me. Then I said, I'd like to hear a disc of the Mozart number 40. I don't know why that should have come into my Gulliver, but it did. The counter vec said, 40 what, friend? I said, Symphony. Symphony number 40 in G minor. Ooh, went one of the dancing Nadsats, a Malchick with his hair all over his glasses. Symphony. Don't it seem funny? He wants a symphony. I could feel myself growing all razdraz within, but I had to watch that, so I like smiled at the vec who had taken over Andy's place and at all the dancing and creeching Nadsats. This countervec said, you go into that listen booth over there, friend, and I'll pipe something through. So I went over to the Malenki box where you could slushy the discs you wanted to buy, and then this vec put a disc on for me, but it wasn't the Mozart 40, it was the Mozart Prague. He seemingly having just picked up any Mozart he could find on the shelf, and that should have started making me feel real razdraz, and I had to watch that for fear of the pain and sickness. But what I'd forgotten was something I shouldn't have forgotten, and now made me want to snuff it. It was that these Dr. Brechneys had so fixed things that any music that was like for the emotions would make me sick, just like viddying or wanting to do violence. It was because all those violence films had music with them, and I remembered especially that horrible Nazi film with the Beethoven Fifth, Last Movement. And now here was lovely Mozart made horrible. I dashed out of the box like Bazoomney to get away from the sickness and pain that were coming on, and I dashed out of the shop with these Nadsats smacking after me and the countervet creeching, hey, hey, hey! But I took no notice and went staggering almost like blind across the road and round the corner to the Corova milk bar. I knew what I wanted. The mesto was near empty, it being still morning. It looked strange, too, having been painted with all red mooing cows, and behind the counter was no vec I knew, but when I said milk plus large, The vet with a light, lean litzo, very newly shaved, knew what I wanted. I took the large Maloco Plus to one of the little cubies that were all round this mesto, there being like curtains to shut them off from the main mesto, and there I sat down in the plushy chair and sipped and sipped. When I'd finished the whole lot, I began to feel that things were happening. I had my glazies light fixed on a malenky bit of silver paper from a cancer packet that was on the floor, the sweeping up of this mesto not being all that horror show, brothers. This scrap of silver began to grow and grow and grow, and it was so light bright and fiery that I had to squint my glazies at it. It got so big that it became not only this whole cubie I was lolling in, but like the whole Corova, the whole street, the whole city. Then it was the whole world. Then it was the whole everything, brothers, and it was like a sea washing over every vesh that had ever been made or ever thought of even. I could sort of slushy myself, making special sort of shooms and gover-eating slovos like dear dead idle wilds rot not in variform guises and all that cow. Then I could like feel the vision beating up in all this silver, and then there were colours like nobody had ever vidded before. And then I could viddy like a group of statues a long, long, long way off that was like being pushed nearer and nearer and nearer, all lit up by a very bright light from below and above alike, O my brothers. This group of statues was of God or Bog and all his holy angels and saints, all very bright like bronze, with beards and bolshy great wings that waved about in a kind of wind, so that they could not really be of stone or bronze, really, and the eyes or glazies like moved and were alive. These bolshy big figures came nearer and nearer and nearer till they were like going to crush me down, and I could slushy my galosh going, yee! And I felt I had got rid of everything, platties, body, brain, name, the lot, and felt real horror show, like in heaven. Then there was the shoom of light crumbling and crumpling and bog, and the angels and saints sort of shook their gullivers at me, as though to gover eat that there wasn't quite time now, but I must try again. And then everything light leered and smecked and collapsed, and the big warm light grew light cold. And then there I was as I was before, the empty glass on the table, and wanting to cry, and feeling like death was the only answer to everything. And that was it. That was what I vidded quite clear was the thing to do. But how to do it, I did not properly know, never having thought of that before, O my brothers. In my little bag of personal veshies, I had my cutthroat Britva, but I at once felt very sick as I thought of myself going swish at myself and all my own red, red crovy flowing. What I wanted was not something violent, but something that would make me, like, just go off gentle to sleep, and that be the end of your humble narrator. No more trouble to anybody anymore. Perhaps, I thought, if I itted off to the public biblio round the corner, I might find some book on the best way of snuffing it with no pain. I thought of myself dead, and how sorry everybody was going to be, P and M and that Callie Vonnie Joe, who was like a usurper, and also Dr. Brodsky and Dr. Branham and that inferior interior minister and every vec else, and the boastful Vonnie government too. So, out I scattered into the winter, and it was afternoon now, near 2 o'clock, as I could viddy from the Bolshy Centre timepiece, so that me being in the land with the old Maloco Plus must have took like longer than I thought. I walked down Marganita Boulevard, and then turned into Boothby Avenue, and then round the corner again, and there was the public biblio. It was a starry, Cali sort of a mess, though, that I could not remember going into since I was a very, very malenky male chick, no more than about 6 years old, and there were two parts to it, one part to borrow books and one part to read in, full of gazettes and mags and like the von of very starry old men with their plots stinking of like old age and poverty. These were standing at the gazetta stands all round the room, snuffing and belching and gover-eating to themselves and turning over the pages to read the news very sadly, or else they were sitting at the tables looking at the mags or pretending to, some of them asleep and one or two of them snoring, real grumpy. I couldn't like remember what it was I wanted at first. Then I remembered, with a bit of a shock, that I had itted here to find out how to snuff it without pain. So I googled over to the shelf full of reference veshes. There were a lot of books, but there was none with the title, brothers, that would really do. There was a medical book that I took down, but when I opened it, it was full of drawings and photographs of horrible wounds and diseases, and that made me want to sick just a bit. So I put that back and then took down the big book, or Bible, as it was called, thinking that might give me like comfort, as it had done in the old Stadger days. Not so old, really, but it seemed a very, very long time ago. And I staggered over to a chair to read in it. But all I found was about smiting 70 times 7 and a lot of Jews cursing and toll-chocking each other, and that made me want to sick too. So then I near cried, so that a very starry, ragged mooge opposite me said, "What is it, son? What's the trouble?" "I want to snuff it," I said. "I've had it. That's what it is. Life's become too much for me." A starry reading vec next to me said, "Shh," without looking up from some bazoomny mag he had full of drawings of like bolshy geometrical veshes. That rang a bell somehow. This other mooge said, "You're too young for that, son. Why, you've got everything in front of you." "Yes," I said, bitter, like a pair of false grudies. This mag-reading vec said, "Shh," again, looking up this time, and something clicked for both of us. I vidded who it was. He said, real grumpy, "I never forget a shape, by God. I never forget the shape of anything. By God, you young swine, I've got you now." Crystallography, that was it. That was what he'd been taking away from the biblio that time. False teeth crunched up, real horror show. Platties torn off. His books razzred all about crystallography. I thought I had best get out of here, real scorry, brothers. But this starry old mooge was on his feet, creeching like bazoomny to all the starry old coffers at the gazettas round the walls, and to them dozing over mags at the tables. "We have him," he creeched. "The poisonous young swine who ruined the books on crystallography. Rare books, books not to be obtained ever again, anywhere." This had a terrible, mad shume about it, as though this old vet was really off his Gulliver. "A prize specimen of the cowardly, brutal young," he creeched, "here in our midst and at our mercy. He and his friends beat me and kicked me and thumped me. They stripped me and tore out my teeth. They laughed at my blood and my moans. They kicked me off home, dazed and naked." All this wasn't quite true, as you know, brothers. He had some platties on. He hadn't been completely Nadjoy. I creeched back, "That was over 2 years ago. I've been punished since then. I've learnt my lesson. See, over there, my picture's in the papers." "Punishment, eh?" said one starry-like ex-soldier type. "You lot should be exterminated like so many noisome pests. Punishment, indeed." All right," I said. "Everybody's entitled to his opinion. Forgive me all. I must go now." And I started to itty out of this mess, though, of bazoomly old men. Aspirin, that was it. You could snuff it on 100 aspirin. Aspirin from the old drugstore. But the crystallography vet creeched, "Don't let him go. We'll teach him all about punishment, the murderous young pig. Get him." And believe it, brothers, or do the other vesh, two or three starry dodderers, about 90 years old apiece, grabbed me with their trembly old rookers, and I was like made sick by the von of old age and disease which came from these near-dead mooges. The crystal vet was on to me now, starting to deal me Malenki wheat, Tolchocks and my Litso, and I tried to get away and itty out, but these starry rookers that held me were stronger than I'd thought. Then other starry vecs came hobbling from the gazetters to have a go at your humble narrator. They were creeching veshes like, "Kill him, stamp on him, murder him, kick his teeth in," and all that cow. And I could vidy what it was clear enough. It was old age having a go at youth. That's what it was. But some of them were saying, "Poor old Jack, near killed poor old Jack he did. This is the young swine," and so on, as though it had all happened yesterday, which to them, I suppose it had. There was now like a sea of vonny, runny, dirty old men trying to get at me with their like feeble rookers and horny old claws creeching and panting onto me. But our crystal droog was there in front dealing out Tolchock after Tolchock, and I daren't do a solitary single vesh, oh my brothers, it being better to be hit at like that than to want to sick and feel that horrible pain. But of course, the fact that there was violence going on made me feel that the sickness was peeping round the corner to vidy whether to come out into the open and roar away. Then an attendant vec came along, a youngish vec, and he creeched, "What goes on here? Stop it at once. This is a reading room." But nobody took any notice, so the attendant vec said, "Right, I shall phone the police." So I creeched, and I never thought I would ever do that in all my jeezney. "Yes, yes, yes, do that. Protect me from these old madmen." I noticed that the attendant vet was not too anxious to join in the dratting and rescue me from the rage and madness of these starry vec's claws. He just scattered off to his light office or wherever the telephone was. Now, these old men were panting a lot now, and I felt I could just flick at them and they would all fall over, but I just let myself be held, very patient, by these starry rookers, my glazies closed, and feel the feeble Tolchocks on my Litso, also slushy the panting, breathy old Golosses creeching, "Young swine, young murderer, hooligan thug, kill him." Then I got such a real painful Tolchock on the nose that I said to myself, "To hell, to hell," and I opened my glazies up and started to struggle to get free, which was not hard, brothers, and I tore off creeching to the sort of hallway outside the reading room. But these starry avengers still came after me, panting like dying, with their animal claws all trembling to get at your friend and humble narrator. Then I was tripped up and was on the floor and was being kicked at. Then I slooshied Golosses of young vex creeching, "All right, stop it now." And I knew the police had arrived.
3.
I was like dazed, oh my brothers, and could not vidy very clear, but I was sure I had met these Millicents some mesto before. The one who had hold of me, going there, 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 just by the front door of the public biblio, him I did not know at all, but it seemed to me he was like very young to be a Roz. But the other two had backs that I was sure I'd vidied before. They were lashing into these starry old vecs with great bolshy glee and joy, swishing away with Malenki whips, creeching, "There, you naughty boys, that should teach you to stop rioting and breaking the state's peace, you wicked villains, you." So they drove these panting and wheezing and near-dying starry avengers back into the reading room. Then they turned round, smecking with the fun they'd had, to vidy me. The older of the two said, "Well, well, 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 if it isn't little Alex. Very long time no vidy, droog. How goes?" I was like dazed, the uniform and the schlem or helmet making it hard to vidy who this was, though Litso and Golos were very familiar. Then I looked at the other one, and about him, with his grinning bazoomny Litso, there was no doubt. Then, all numb and growing number, I looked back at the well, well, welling one. This one was then fatty old Billy Boy, my old enemy. The other was, of course, Dim, who had used to be my droog and also the enemy of stinking fatty goaty Billy Boy, but was now a Millicent with uniform and schlem and whip to keep order. I said, oh no. Surprise, eh? An old Dim came out with the old guff I remembered so horror show. It's impossible, I said. It can't be so. I don't believe it. Evidence of the old lassies, grinned Billy Boy. Nothing up our sleeves, no magic, droog. A job for two who are now of job age, the police. You're too young, I said. Much too young. They don't make roses of Malchicks of your age. Was young, went old Millicent Dim. I could not get over it, brothers. I really could not. That's what we was, young Droogie, and you it was that was always the youngest, and here now we are. I still can't believe it, I said. Then Billy Boy, Roz Billy Boy, that I couldn't get over, said to this young Millicent that was like holding on to me and that I did not know, more good would be done, I think, Rex, if we doled out a bit of the old summary. Boys will be boys, as always was. No need to go through the old station routine. This one here has been up to his old tricks, as we can well remember, though you, of course, can't. He has been attacking the aged and defenceless, and they have properly been retaliating. But we must have our say in the state's name. What is all this? I said, not able hardly to believe my ukos. It was them that went for me, brothers. You're not on their side, and can't be. You can't be, Dim. It was a Vec we fillied with once in the old days, trying to get his own malenky bit of revenge after all this long time. Long time is right, said Dim. I don't remember those days too, horror show. Don't call me Dim no more, either. Officer, call me. Enough is remembered, though, Billy Boy kept nodding. He was not so fatty as he had been. Naughty little Malchicks, handy with cutthroat Britvers, these must be kept under. And they took me in a real strong grip and like walked me out of the biblio. There was a Millicent patrol car waiting outside, and this Vec they called Rex was the driver. They like toll-chocked me into the back of this auto, and I couldn't help feeling it was all really like a joke and that Dim, anyway, would pull his schlem off his Gulliver and go, huh, huh, huh. But he didn't. I said, trying to fight the strack inside me, and old Pete, what happened to old Pete? It was sad about Georgie, I said. I slushied all about that.
Pete, oh yes, Pete, said Dim. I seem to remember, like, the name.
I could vidy we were driving out of town. I said, where are we supposed to be going? Billy Boy turned round from the front to say, it's light still, a little drive into the country, all winter bare, but lonely and lovely. It is not right, not always, for ludies in the town to vidy too much of our summary punishment. Streets must be kept clean in more than one way. And he turned to the front again. Come, I said, I just don't get this at all. The old days are dead and gone days. For what I did in the past, I have been punished. I have been cured.
That was read out to us, said Dim. The super read all that out to us. He said it was a very good way.
Read to you, I said, a malinky bit nasty. You still too dim to read for yourself, oh brother.
Ah, no, said Dim, like very gentle and like regretful. Not to speak like that, not no more, Droogie. And he launched a bolshy tolchok right on my clove, so that all red, red nose crovy started to drip, drip, drip.
There was never any trust, I said, bitter, wiping off the crovy with my rooker. I was always on my oddy knocky.
This will do, said Billy Boy. We were now in the country, and it was all bare trees and a few odd distant like twitters, and in the distance there was some like farm machine making a whirring shoom. It was getting all dusk now, this being the height of winter. There were no ludies about, nor no animals.
There was just the four. Get out, Alex boy, said Dim. Just a malenky bit of summary.
All through what they did, this driver vet just sat at the wheel of the auto, smoking a cancer, reading a malenky bit of a book. He had the light on in the auto to vidi by. He took no notice of what Billy Boy and Dim did to your humble narrator. I will not go into what they did. But it was all like panting and thudding against this like background of whirring farm machines and the twit, twit, twittering in the bare or nadjoy branches. You could vidi a bit of smoky breath in the auto light, this driver turning the pages over quite calm. And they were on to me all the time, oh my brothers. Then Billy Boy or Dim, I couldn't say which one, said, about enough, Droogie, I should think, shouldn't you? Then they gave me one final toll chock on the litso each, and I fell over and just laid there on the grass. It was cold, but I was not feeling the cold. Then they dusted their rookers and put back on their schlems and tunics, which they had taken off, and then they got back into the auto. Be vidying you some more sometime, Alex, said Billy Boy, and Dim just gave one of his old clowny guffs. The driver finished the page he was reading and put his book away. Then he started the auto and they were off townwards, my ex-droog and ex-enemy waving. But I just laid there, fagged and shagged. After a bit, I was hurting bad and then the rain started, all icy. I could vidi no ludies in sight nor no lights of houses. Where was I to go? Who had no home and not much cutter in my carments. I cried for myself, boo-hoo-hoo. Then I got up and began walking.
4.
Home, home, home. It was home I was wanting, and it was home I came to, brothers. I walked through the dark, and followed not the town way, but the way where the shoom of a like farm machine had been coming from. This brought me to a sort of village I felt I'd vidded before, but was perhaps because all villages looked the same, in the dark especially. Here were houses, and there was like a drinking mesto, and right at the end of the village there was a malenky cottage on its oddy knocky, and I could vidi its name shining white on the gate. Home, it said. I was all dripping wet with this icy rain, so that my platties were no longer in the height of fashion, but real miserable and like pathetic, and my luscious glory was a wet, tangled, cally mess all spread over my gulliver, and I was sure there were cuts and bruises all over my litso, and a couple of my zoobies sort of joggled loose when I touched them with my tongue or yazzik. And I was sore all over my plot and very thirsty, so that I kept opening my rot to the cold rain, and my stomach growled grrr all the time, with not having had any pishka since morning, and then not very much, oh my brothers. Home, it said, and perhaps here would be some vec to help. I opened the gate and sort of slithered down the path, the rain like turning to ice, and then I knocked gentle and pathetic on the door. No vec came, so I knocked a malenky bit longer and louder, and then I heard the shoom of nogas coming to the door. Then the door opened, and a male galos said, "Yes, what is it?" "Oh," I said, "please help. I've been beaten up by the police and just left to die on the road. Oh, please give me a drink of something and a sit by the fire, please, sir." The door opened full then, and I could vidi like warm light and a fire going crackle, crackle within. "Come in," said this vec, "whoever you are. God help you, you poor victim. Come in and let's have a look at you." So I like staggered in, and it was no big act I was putting on, brothers. I really felt done and finished. This kind vec put his rookers round my plechos and pulled me into this room where the fire was, and of course I knew right away now where it was and why home on the gate looked so familiar. I looked at this vec and He looked at me in a kind sort of way, and I remembered him well now. Of course, he would not remember me, for in those carefree days, I and my so-called droogs did all our bolshy dratzing and fillying and crasting in maskies, which were real horror show disguises. He was a shortish feck in middle age, 30, 40, 50, and he had hotchkeys on. "Sit down by the fire," he said, "and I'll get you some whiskey and warm water." "Dear, dear, dear, somebody has been beating you up." And he gave a, like, tender look at my Gulliver and Litso. "The police," I said, "the horrible, ghastly police." "Another victim," he said, light sighing. "A victim of the modern age. I'll go and get you that whiskey, and then I must clean up your wounds a little." And off he went. I had a look round this malenky, comfortable room. It was nearly all books now, and a fire, and a couple of chairs, and you could vidy somehow that there wasn't a woman living there. On the table was a typewriter and a lot of, like, tumbled papers, and I remembered that this vec was a writer vec. A Clockwork Orange. That had been it. It was funny that that stuck in my mind. I must not let on, though, for I needed help and kindness now. Those horrible Grasny Brachneys in that terrible white mesto had done that to me, making me need help and kindness now and forcing me to want to give help and kindness myself if anybody would take it. "Here we are, then," said this vet, returning. He gave me this hot, stimulating glassful to peat, and it made me feel better. And then he cleaned up these cuts on my Litso. Then he said, "You have a nice hot bath. I'll draw it for you. And then you can tell me all about it over a nice hot supper, which I'll get ready while you're having the bath." Oh, my brothers, I could have wept at his kindness, and I think he must have vidded the old tears in my glazies, for he said, "There, there, there," patting me on the plecho. Anyway, I went up and had this hot bath, and he brought in pyjamas and an overgown for me to put on, all warmed by the fire, also a very worn pair of twofles. And now, brothers, though I was aching and full of pains all over, I felt I would soon feel a lot better. I itted downstairs and vidded that in the kitchen he had set the table with knives and forks and a big fine loaf of kleb, also a bottle of Prima sauce. And soon he served out a nice fry of eggy wegs and lomtics of ham and bursting sausages and big bolshy mugs of hot, sweet, milky chai. It was nice sitting there in the warm, eating, and I found that I was very hungry, so that after the fry I had to eat lomtick after lomtick of kleb and butter spread with strawberry jam out of a bolshy great pot. "A lot better," I said. "How can I ever repay?" "I think I know who you are," he said. "If you are who I think you are, then you've come, my friend, to the right place. Wasn't that your picture in the papers this morning? Are you the poor victim of this horrible new technique? If so, then you have been sent here by Providence, tortured in prison, then thrown out to be tortured by the police. My heart goes out to you, poor, poor boy." Brothers, I could not get a Slovo in, though I had my rot wide open to answer his questions. "You are not the first to come here in distress," he said. "The police are fond of bringing their victims to the outskirts of this village, but it is providential that you, who are also another kind of victim, should come here. Perhaps then you have heard of me?" I had to be very careful, brothers. I said, "I have heard of A Clockwork Orange. I've not read it, but I have heard of it." "Ah," he said, and his Litso shone like the sun in its flaming morning glory. "Now, tell me about yourself." "Little enough to tell, sir," I said, all humble. "There was a foolish and boyish prank, my so-called friends persuading, or rather forcing me, to break into the house of an old petitza lady, I mean. There was no real harm meant. Unfortunately, the lady strained her good old heart in trying to throw me out, though I was quite ready to go of my own accord, and then she died. I was accused of being the cause of her death, so I was sent to prison, sir.
Yes, 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 go on.
Then I was picked out by the Minister of the Inferior, or Interior, to have this Ludovico's vest tried out on me.
Tell me all about it, he said, leaning forward, eager. His pullover elbows with all strawberry jam on them from the plate I'd pushed to one side. So I told him all about it. I told him the lot, all my brothers. He was very eager to hear all, his glazies light shining and his goobers apart, while the grease on the plates grew harder, harder, harder. When I had finished, he got up from the table, nodding a lot and going, hmm, 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 picking up the plates and other veshes from the table and taking them to the sink for washing up. I said, I will do that, sir, and gladly. Rest, rest, poor lad, he said, turning the tap on so that all steam came burping out. You've sinned, I suppose, but your punishment has been out of all proportion. They have turned you into something other than a human being. You have no power of choice any longer. You are committed to socially acceptable acts, a little machine capable only of good. And I see that clearly, that business about the marginal conditionings, music and the sexual act, literature and art, all must be a source now not of pleasure but of pain. That's right, sir, I said, smoking one of this kind man's cork-tipped cancers. They always bite off too much, he said, drying a plate, like, absent-mindedly. But the essential intention is the real sin. A man who cannot choose ceases to be a man. That's what the Charles said, sir, I said. The prison chaplain, I mean. Did he? Did he? Of course he did. He'd have to, wouldn't he, being a Christian? Well, now then, he said, still wiping the same plate he'd been wiping 10 minutes ago, we shall have a few people in to see you tomorrow. I think you can be used, poor boy. I think that you can help dislodge this overbearing government. To turn a decent young man into a piece of clockwork should not, surely, be seen as any triumph for any government save one that boasts of its repressiveness. He was still wiping this same plate. I said, sir, you're still wiping that same plate. I agree with you, sir, about boasting. This government seems to be very boastful. Oh, he said, like vidding this plate for the first time and then putting it down. I'm still not too handy, he said, with domestic chores. My wife used to do them all and leave me to my writing.
Your wife, sir? I said, has she gone and left you? I really wanted to know about his wife, remembering very well. Yes, left me, he said, in a like loud and bitter gloss. She died, you see. She was brutally raped and beaten. The shock was very great. It was in this house. His rookers were trembling, holding a wiping-up cloth in that room next door. I have had to steel myself to continue to live here, but she would have wished me to stay where her fragrant memory still lingers. Yes, yes, yes. Poor little girl. I vidded all clearly, my brothers, what had happened that far-off notchy, and vidding myself on that job, I began to feel I wanted to sick, and the pain started up in my gulliver. This vec vidded this, because my Litzo felt it was all drained of red, red crovy, very pale, and he would be able to vidy this. You go to bed now, he said kindly. I've got the spare room ready. Poor, poor boy. You must have had a terrible time. A victim of the modern age, just as she was. Poor, poor, poor girl.
This ends Disc 5.